Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
Off the ball.
GAA. But like saying that Cork and Limerick are definitely up there. They're definitely probably the two favourites with All-Ireland, really looking at for current form or the squads, they probably the team that they potentially could put down on paper.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Now Di Stefano. There's always tenor when he moves. And it's 7-2.
From the barrios of Buenos Aires to the roaring nights of Madrid, this episode traces the extraordinary journey of Alfredo Di Stefano, the visionary who redefined modern football. Born in Argentina, forged in the breakaway leagues of Colombia with Millonarios, and immortalized in Spain, he became the heartbeat of a dynasty. But what if the man they called La Saeta Rubia had taken a different path and gone to Real Madrid's biggest rivals, Barcelona? Find out on episode 6 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors podcast as to how European football could have been changed as we know it. Coming to you this Monday in your OTB football podcast feed for free.
All the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah,
I believe in my county, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Word on the Street, where every week we take a trending sporting topic and we bring it into the studio. So International Women's Day is coming up this Sunday on the 8th of March, and me and Rachel, who sat there to my right, are delighted to be joined by Irish rally driver Aoife Raftery. Aoife,
hey,
how are you?
Good, how are you keeping? Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem at all. It's such a unique sport that we don't really get to talk a lot about, and we are very excited for this interview to be happening. I suppose I just want to start by giving a bit of context for people who are listening. You are the first and only female driver in Motorsport Ireland's Rally Academy, and you race in the European Rally Championships, and you are also associated with Dirtfish. To start, I guess, was this always the dream to be a rally driver?
No, definitely not. Growing up, I used to play camogie and soccer, and that was like my two main sports. And, you know, I really, really love them, and I love being part of the team. And I was always a very competitive person. So, yeah, when you're so involved in something and so in the middle of it, that was all I seen myself doing. And I played them both all the way up till I was 18. And then the same kind of, I suppose, story that happens to a lot of people is that I had a couple of operations on one leg, and then I was told it was very likely that it was going to happen again, so I kind of took a step back from playing those sports. And when I was 18, then after a while of not doing anything, and I found that quite difficult, I got the chance to co-drive first in a rally car. So in the rally car we have a driver and a co-driver. So I got the chance, as I said, in my local rally. I'm from Galway, so it was the Galway International Rally, and I co-drove in that and did a couple more after
when
that.
When you say co-drove, just for us who don't know what that means.
For us mere mortals.
So the co-driver is basically calling notes that describes the road ahead for the driver, so the driver knows where they're going.
Okay.
And the driver relies on what they hear to be able to drive as fast as they can from the start of the stage to the end of the stage.
Okay.
So that's what I was in first, and I was trying that out, and you know, I enjoyed it, but I seen then from the co-driver side what the driver was doing, and I thought I could definitely give that a go. So I got, like, in terms of motorsport, like a relatively cheap rally car that was good for kind of starting out and getting to grips, understanding, you know, how to carry the speed and everything like that. So I entered my first ever rally, and that was in 2020.
So it's not actually been that long that you've been doing this.
No, But my first ever rally got cancelled with COVID, so I had to wait another year and a half to do a rally, to actually get to drive. So yeah, it's been, it's not been a very long career. A lot of people start a lot younger than me, so I've had to make up quite a bit of time in a few years.
And is it very common, I suppose, for rally drivers to start off doing co-driving and then move into the hot seat, if you will?
A lot of the drivers nowadays, you can start rally driving at 14 years of age in Ireland. So like a lot. You can't co-drive at 14, but you can drive. So nowadays, it's definitely a lot of people are just starting quite young in the sport. You know, they might come from karting, which you can do from like 4 or 5 years of age. So it's, it'd be a lot more common, I think. You know, people, I suppose, just step into the driver's seat naturally, coming from maybe a different discipline when they were younger.
I've seen some videos of you in the car and the co-driver shouting out like this list of instructions.
Yeah.
So is that basically telling you what's coming up in the road? So you're not even really looking, are you? Are you just listening out for these directions? And
So before we, before we're on the stages doing the like the rally itself, we'll preview the stages in like a normal road car, and I will call out what I see and describe it as best as I can, but in as little words as possible. And the co-driver writes that down, and then in the rally they call that back to me. So like I have an idea of where the drivers still have an idea of where you're going, but like if the co-driver calls the wrong note, like you're gonna put it off, because you listen, you're like trusting them with everything to rely on what's coming around the corner or how sharp the corner is. So yes, there's a lot of trust involved, and yeah, you'd want a good relationship for sure.
And you use kind of a scale, do you, of numbers? It's not just like, flatter in this corner, like take it handy. It's quite technical.
So I use a scale. So I would use like 1 to 6. So 1 would be like, I'll nearly know 1 is a flat corner. But then we'll add a plus and minus to all that. So it gives you more like of a variety of what you're going to use. And then you use the distance in meters. So we have a trip meter in the car that will record the length between two corners. And then we have just every, it's not like, it's kind of personalized. So every driver has their own system, and it's what works for you the best as a team in the car. So, yeah.
And how long have you been working with, who's your current co-driver? Is it like a different person for
so
different
you
races?
You've had different people. So normally who sits with me is another woman called Hannah McKillop. Now she's Irish, but she's currently living in Scotland. But actually for my next race, she's not able to sit in with me for that one. So I have a co-driver from Denmark sitting in with me, who I met last year at the European Rally Championship, and last weekend she was over in Ireland, so we did some practice together. So we're set up and ready to go now for the next event.
What does practice look like for you? Are you getting out on a track, or I heard you mentioning before in an interview that you've had field cars, which I think anyone who grew up in the country in Ireland will know that anyone who had a field car was living the dream, some little Ford Fiesta that they had that their uncle gave to them on the farm. But I assume obviously it's hard to...
It is quite hard, yeah. And obviously like a lot of, like all motorsport, it comes down to cost and getting, sponsorship and partnership and working that. But we did a smaller event in Northern Ireland on Saturday, which was a small rally, but it was a really good rally for us to get to know each other at good stages and get some seat time before we head over on Monday to the US for our next event. So,
is it an all year round thing that you're doing, kind of rallies and different kind of smaller rallies and rallies that aren't necessarily connected with the European Championships? Because I don't think this starts until April, is it?
Over the winter, rallying is quiet enough. There wouldn't be too many events happening. Like December, January, there wouldn't be any rallies really on, unless you're going to a snow country and doing some snow rallies, but that would be the height of it. The first rally in Ireland is the Galway International, and it's always the first weekend of February. But for any, let's say, the European Championship, and I'm doing the American Championship as well, like that, both of those events don't start until March time. So then from March onwards through to November, it's a busy schedule.
And can you remember the kind of the first moment that you were about to start a rally in the European Championship? Like you're competing at an international level. Can you remember what that emotion felt like?
Yeah, it was just a bag of nerves, to be honest with you. But even now, before any rally, whether it's a small one at home or a big one, out in some European country, it's the same feeling of like, it's anticipation and nerves, but like, you're excited, but you are still nervous, because it's like any sport, you want to perform and you want to do well. So it's only natural that you're nervous before a stage, but once the, you know, once that countdown, like, you're watching the clock, and once you're on the stage, then that completely disappears and you're just focused on doing the job. So, yeah.
Are you in almost like a flow state that we hear athletes describe all the time, in that you're just, you know what's going to happen, or are you hyper aware of absolutely everything that's going on around you?
It can be both, depending on how the stage is going for you. Definitely, that's, you know, there's definitely both sides to it. Sometimes when you are in the flow state, that's not when you know you're, you don't even realize you're in it, I suppose, until after. And then, and then you're like, yeah, that was a good stage. And, you know, you're just, but yeah, it can vary so much on, like, on how the car feels, the setup of the car and the stages. So if everything is working together and it's clicking, yeah, you can definitely get into that state, which is quite an incredible feeling.
I had a question written down to ask, but I suppose I need to rephrase it. I was going to ask what it was like kind of growing up as a girl in motorsports in Ireland, but if you were playing different sports and not really involved in this until you were a bit older, maybe that's not the case. But what was it, what's it like competing in what I'm imagining is a very male-dominated sport?
Yeah, it's definitely still very male-dominated. But I think, you know, there's, we're beginning to see more and more younger girls getting involved in motorsport and in karting and coming up to the ranks, so, which is a really good thing to see. But, you know, in terms of co-drivers, there's a, in Europe, there's a lot of women out there at a very high level in the co-driver seat, which is really cool to see, but we just don't have that in the driver's side. And I think it just needs to kind of, the promotion of women in motorsport, the encouragement, and having then the actual, I suppose, financial support for young drivers and, you know, women coming up through the ranks to be able to get out there. And, you know, it's only by getting the opportunities and getting a chance to compete that they, you know, can prove themselves and kind of progress on that ladder. But yeah, I think, you know, part of Dirtfish, you know, there's, I'm in their Women in Motorsport Driver Program.
And what is Dirtfish specifically?
So Dirtfish is, first, it's actually a rally school based in Seattle and Washington, but they're also a media, they cover, they're the largest media coverage provider of rallying outside of the main WRC, the main World Rally Championship. So they're, in terms of rallying, they're massive. So to, when I kind of got the partnership and became a driver for them, it was an incredible achievement for me. And, you know, when you grow up and you're watching, you know, I've always been following them and I've always been just seen them from a distance and thought, like, that's incredible. But now to be part of it is still hard to believe sometimes.
And I suppose when you're kind of looking at stuff like being involved with Dirtfish, stuff like racing in Europe, around Europe, you're also the first, and am I correct in saying, only female driver who's been part of Motorsport Ireland's Rally Academy?
Yeah, so that's another, yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy, like, they're putting in great work and great effort to promote young drivers in the sport and try and, you know, they're really making it, I suppose rallying used to be seen as not as a professional sport as other sports, and I think it's starting to change, and the Academy are putting a lot of work into, you know, your nutrition, your fitness as well, on all the aspects, you know, how to approach sponsors. And it's a great, yeah, it was great to be part of that program, and it was great to kind of, I suppose, you know, I was quite fresh into the sport when I was part of that program, so it definitely helped me develop as well and get a good understanding of how to go about certain things.
You mentioned, like, fitness and nutrition there. Do you have to keep, like, a almost like a boxer or a jockey, do you have to make sure you're staying physically fit under a certain weight, like, for the car?
You have, yeah. Well, in one way, yes, you still have to be very physically fit and mentally fit, because you're, like, in the European events, you're competing for 3 days, and, like, you're probably getting 4 to 5 hours of sleep for, like, a week, so you're very, very drained, but you're running on adrenaline at the same time, so you're fine during the event, but you still have to be fit, because if you need to be focused at all times while you're on the stages, then you can't, like, drop concentration at all, or you're going to be off the road. So it's quite demanding, that side of it. But then in terms of weight, yes, you do want to be, I suppose, as light as possible, but we also have a minimum weight that by regulations that we have to have for the car. So yeah, well, like, let's say me and my co-driver together, we would be under the minimum weight, so then we have to add some weight. It just makes it more fair, I suppose, that there is a, yeah, there's a minimum weight for the for the care, so yeah.
And how are you, you mentioned, like, making sure you're mentally strong. How do you train for that? Are you kind of trying to do Sudoku puzzles there on like 2 hours sleep to make sure you can function, or how does that look like?
No, it's, I suppose it's more about having everything done before you get to the event, and you know, your preparation is all done, you're in the right state of mind, you're focused, you know, if you can have everything, I suppose, already as much as you can done before the event, then when you get there, then makes a massive difference. And even analysing performances after their rallies to see what you need to do or what needs to change for the next one to improve, talking with the team, talking with the engineer. It's just, yeah, it's all aspects of it to try and improve your performance for the next rally.
And reactions are always something we hear about.
Yeah.
That people involved in motorsport, F1, that, you know, you've got super reaction times. Do you think something like Camogie would have helped in that?
Yeah, definitely. And not many people ask that question, but it's very true, because the hand-eye coordination from Camogie, like, we did... I was competing in the junior element of the European Rally Championship, and we were doing, on one of the days before the rallies, we were doing like this, they used to get all the drivers together and we had to do like these like little competitions before the rally started, just to like, I suppose, get to know each other, because we were drivers from all different countries, and it was a good idea. But there was one reaction, and it was based on hand-eye coordination, and I like completely like smashed the rest of the boys at it, but I was putting it down to, you know, the experience from Camogie and having that hand-eye coordination. Definitely, like, I think it definitely makes a difference, because a lot of them only ever were in motorsport, they didn't play other sports, so they didn't have that kind of natural reaction from the likes of Camogie.
You'll have Colin Murray on the phone to you now before the day is out, getting you into the senior team.
No, I doubt that very much. I haven't picked up the helmet in a long time, so.
Was there a worry when you were stepping into like a car that can, you know, you're going around corners at incredible speeds, you're racing flat out. Was there a worry that about your injury that forced you to stop playing Camogie, or that didn't even factor in?
No, I never thought about it, to be honest with you. And it hasn't been an issue either, so I'm quite lucky that way. From previous, there was no kind of, I suppose, worry about it. I knew that the physical element on your knees from motorsport, you know, is a lot different to, you know, the field sport where you're really harsh on your knees and joints and stuff like that. So no, it wasn't a...
What's the sensation like when you're driving a rally car? Can you just kind of describe what it feels like within your own body?
You're so super focused. I don't even... how would you describe the feeling? You know, we compete on gravel and tarmac events. So on the gravel, you're feeling the car through your body move a lot more. You're kind of... Sometimes you're literally counter-steering... because you're trying to get the car set up for different corners. In the tarmac, the grip is so high, the speeds are a lot higher because of that grip. So it's hard to describe. You're just so super focused on the job that you're doing. You're really tense as well, because you're holding onto the steering wheel as tight as you can, but you're not even realizing that you're, I suppose, doing that as well. It's not until a couple of days after and you're going, your back's sore.
And do you prefer the gravel or the tarmac?
I prefer the gravel, definitely. I really enjoy it. You know, I'm a stronger driver on gravel, so that's probably why I prefer it. But yeah, in Ireland, the Irish tarmac would be a lot bigger. But across Europe, it would definitely be 50-50 on terms of like what's popularity-wise. And then in the US, it's actually all gravel-based, so...
And kind of speaking of being a strong driver, you're kind of, your best results have been a few P4s across, I think, in Poland and in Hungary, if I'm correct. First of all, what was it like getting those results? And do you feel that a podium could be coming at some point in the future?
Yeah, definitely. I would hope so. I think, you know, for us, that was a really strong, like, I suppose, improvement in our performance and development. I think, you know, we were racing against 20 junior drivers, and they're, like, as we mentioned, like, I was the only woman driver in that whole, like, class. But the level of the drivers is so high in Europe. Like, it's... The category I was competing in the European Championship, I couldn't, in the car, like, it's based on your class and what car you drive, like, I couldn't go any higher in terms of level of competition. So the drivers I was competing against was, like, so, so high. So, yeah, I was, you know, those results were, like, really, really positive, and I definitely see that we'd be able to get a podium, you know, building on from that. I think it was, you mentioned Hungary and Poland. In Hungary, we were actually third for nearly most of that rally, and then... It was a gravel event. We got a small hole in the radiator, which caused us to have to pull over on the stage, and we lost a few minutes. And once you stop at all, you're out of contention completely. Like, so.
But is kind of the knowledge that you're driving, your technical skills and your driving on that day itself would have been enough to get you a podium. That must feel good.
Yeah, well, it didn't feel good at the time.
Bittersweet.
Yeah, definitely. Knowing the pace was there and in Poland, that was definitely, it's nice to look back and at the time know you're on, like you're aware where you need to be able to get on the podium. Definitely, but at the time, it's a hard one to take.
So, I mean, you're going as far afield as Poland and Hungary and America as well. How difficult is it, even with the support of Motorsport Ireland and with Dirtfish, to kind of to fund your travel and to fund this career and to look for sponsors?
Yeah, it's definitely not the most enjoyable part of the sport, but it has to be done. And yeah, you know, I'll go and I look and do some research into companies and see who I think might have some interest in coming on board to support, like whether they have an interest maybe in supporting women in sport, they have an interest in motorsport. If I think that the brand might align, kind of same values and what, you know, trying to get recognition across Europe and America, and we compete in Ireland as well. It's definitely the hardest side of it, but it's part of the sport and it has to be done. So, it can be quite difficult at times, of course, and it is an expensive sport, but you know, we're working on it, and I had a sponsor, Cara Boyle, come on board this year, which is, you know, it was just really nice to have, you know, it's for as well, it's nice to have them become part of the journey and come on it with us, and, you know, then I get to represent them, so it's very nice, and yeah, we just need to keep working on it. You know, the more, I suppose, support you have, the more opportunities you get, and that also then leads to progression in the sport.
We speak about progression in the sport. I think you can't mention motorsport in Ireland without discussing the late Rosemary Smith. You know, she has been mentioned as one of your role models going up, and you were awarded the inaugural Rosemary Smith Award last year.
Yeah.
How did that feel from going to idolising someone who was just, when you say trailblazer, like female rally driver in the 50s and 60s, that's the definition of a trailblazer, really, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, she achieved so much, especially in a difficult time to be able to do so. So that was incredible. And yeah, as you said, to be the first person to win that Rosemary Smith Award was really special. And, you know, to be recognised by Motorsport Ireland with that, it meant a lot. So yeah, it was, you know, I met Rosemary a couple of years before she passed, and she was such a nice lady. And to kind of get to speak to her and then get to win that award, it was really special.
Did she have any words of wisdom for you when you met her?
Yeah, no, she was very good. She was very encouraging and very supportive of what I was trying to achieve. And, you know, she was telling me stories about her day as well. So when she was rallying, but yeah, she was very, still sharp at the time and very with it. So it was good to be able to have that conversation.
And she's someone who so broke the mold of what anyone thought maybe rally car driver might look like. You know, she had the Hollywood look, so to speak. How important is it for us, especially for women in sport, to have, like, it's not just one definition of what you think this person should look like. I can be interested in this, but also be interested in this. I mean, like, you have a degree in construction studies, if I'm right in saying, like, that's pretty outlier as well in terms of that. So it's kind of like, it's not a one size fits all for any sport. Sure, it's not.
No, definitely not. I think, you know, you'll find that in nearly all sports. It's not one size fits all, especially motorsport. Rosemary was definitely good at, you know, she was very well put together, and, you know, she made sure that, and look, I'm sure as well that helps, you know, you're presenting yourself in the correct way, and that's what matters too, is how you show up and how you meet people. And yeah,
do you feel a sense of responsibility knowing that there are maybe young girls who are growing up in Ireland now who maybe want to be a rally driver and can see somebody competing on an international stage?
Yeah, for sure. I think I kind of got into that, well, not that I got into it, but I see that I've kind of maybe become a role model to the young girls that are into motorsport, and I didn't maybe realise it so soon, but it was, you know, when they're coming up and they're asking you questions and they're asking you, how did you get started and how did you get involved and, you know, where can I start, you know, it's quite cool to be able to, you know, answer those questions and help them out. But yeah, it's really important, and it's part of the Dirtfish Women in Motorsport Driver Program, is to be able to not only, you know, show up and compete, and, you know, our aim is to win on the stages, but it's also to represent women in motorsport and encourage the next generation of young girls too, that there is a, you know, there's a path there. You know, if there's something you really want to be able to go and do, that they can see it's achievable. And I think when you can see it, you can believe it and you can follow through with it.
And have you noticed, even in your kind of 5 or so years in the sport, that changes are happening and that progress is being made?
Yeah, there's definitely, since I started in my first rally in 2021, there's definitely been progression. I just think it just still needs to be pushed more and more. We still have a long way to go to balance it up a bit. But yeah, I think it's been good to see more and more get involved. But yeah, it would be great to see a bit more support and encouragement.
What's interesting about, I think, Irish motorsport at the moment is that we have a really strong presence in rallying, in obviously the European Championships, but also in WRC and in the World Championships. Why do you think this is? Why are Irish kind of petrol heads drawn towards rallying?
Yeah, I don't know. It is definitely, yeah, it is one of the largest disciplines of motorsport in Ireland. I don't know, is it just because so many of us live in the country and then there's rallies based, you know, there'd be rallies based near your home and there might be stages passing your house. I'm not actually sure why it's so big, but it's great that it is. I'm not actually sure the reason of why it might be more popular than other disciplines.
Should I say
we probably have the right terrain for it?
Yeah. I was going to say, what's the rallying community like?
It's a really good community. It's a community that everyone knows everyone in it, but it's still, you know, I don't think in all motorsports it's the same, that if I was in a service park and I'm one team and you're on another team, you know, and if you needed a part, I'd give it to you if you needed it. Whereas I know in other motorsports and other disciplines that would not be there. It would be, you have to sort it out yourself. So I think that's quite a nice part of the sport too, is that, you know, the drivers are willing to try and help each other. And definitely it's more about your stage times and your driving on the stage is not, you know, we'll try and help each other out then if we can.
So it actually is a community. I know people use that word probably more generally to just mean everyone who does rallying in the country. But from what you're saying, it's like there's a connection between these people.
Yeah, definitely. And no matter where you go, you nearly always meet someone too. So it's a nice touch. But yeah, the Motorsport Ireland and everybody, the motor clubs, Skye Motor Club, while I'm part of, you know, there's a great sense of community there and support for each other as well.
It's probably like a very annoying question that you get, and a real, you can tell that I, you know, I've never been in a rally car, but your sense of danger, because it's a high speed sport, are you aware of that every time you get into the car, or is it something that you just accept every time you go out?
I suppose I try not think about it. Yeah, you're better off not thinking about those. But to be honest with you, the risk, like, I can see from, if you're not from rallying, that you might see it as a high-risk sport, but it doesn't feel that way when you're in the sport and you're competing yourself. So much safety measures are taken and so much, like, preparation is taken then by the driver and the co-driver. Like, in the car, we have a roll cage, we have our helmets, fire safety suits, seats that go around us. Like, it feels really safe, even though you're trying to drive as fast as you possibly can from the start of the stage to the end of the stage. So, I don't think about it. And I think if you thought about it, you'd be at a disadvantage as well.
So it's that kind of psychological strength as well, kind of as you were mentioning earlier, that's nearly part of a training to kind of be able to get yourself in the car and perform as best as you possibly can.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when I was telling you about before the rally and the driver and the co-driver is going through the stage in normal road car to make the pace notes, like sometimes you can see maybe a particularly dangerous corner or something that could catch you out quite easily, but we'll just mark it on the notes so you know to back off a little bit maybe for that. But look, it's rallying and it's motorsport, you know, you do crash, you can't avoid it. It happens to everybody in the sport. It's just a matter of when, not if. And yeah, it's just hard on the pocket is what it is.
Have you had a crash? A big one?
Oh, well, like, yeah. But it's natural, like, everybody, you know, it's...
With that kind of a silly question, it's almost like saying, have you ever had a free kick in football, you know?
Yeah, it's like if you play a football match, have you ever fall down? Like, you know, of course, you just get back up again.
It's that common.
Yeah. Like, it happens, you know, it won't happen you every rally, but it happens someone every rally. So it's it's very, I suppose, just part of the sport too.
Yeah. So obviously you have a busy season ahead, kind of in Europe, in America, and all these other rallies that are dotting around could be coming up now that the season's beginning. What are your goals for this year? And then if it's not too cheeky to ask, for your kind of career as it goes forward?
Yeah, of course. Our first event we had on Monday over to Missouri. The last event we did over in the US was, we finished third on the podium. So I'm hoping that we can go back over and maybe take it one up again. So definitely, you know, we're very, like, I suppose, short-term goal is to be on the podium over there. Same back here, you know, this year I got the opportunity, or no, sorry, 2025, I got the opportunity to drive in the first, I was the first ever Irish driver to drive an electric rally, which was really cool. And we did that with Open Motorsport and Opel Ireland supporting us as well. So my goal this year would be able to get back over with them as well. We did that in Germany, and yeah, I'd love to get back. You know, that was a really, really cool opportunity, and it was so different as well. I'd love to get back over doing that with both of them. And yeah, European Rally Championship, as we spoke about, you know, if we get back there and we're able to, you know, we're still working on the budget for that, for that season. And if we can make that happen, definitely the goal is to be on the podium there. I think we would be the first. If we get back at it, and I do believe we'll be able to get on the podium, we'd be the first ever female crew to get on the podium in that championship. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that comes together.
Well, the absolute best of luck for everything going on this year. And especially with International Women's Day coming up on Sunday, it's been lovely to talk to you and to hear about your story and about your journey.
Oh, thank you both very much for having me on the show.
No problem.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in Mike Hankey, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters, thank you for the team, thank you France. Merci la France, merci les baguettes, merci les croissants. Je vous aime, I love you.